Mindful Mondays with Dr. Corliss P. Bennett.
All right, Kenny, it's time for a vacation, huh?
Yes, you're right. You're right.
Mondays, first of all.
That was Mondays. Yeah, my bad, as they say.
Mondays, no.
And then when you did that, I'm thinking, oh, you were on the phone. It's like, okay, no, it's not even Monday. Wait a minute.
Not even Monday. You know what? All right. That's why Humboldt sent out an email about folks. Okay, he's signing in now. I was calling him like, where are you? So they sent out this email about if you don't use your vacation, anything over whatever amount, you'll lose it.
Yeah, use it or lose it. Yeah.
So I took off next week. I was like, you know what? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I have to physically take off Friday. Isn't that the wackest thing ever?
Wait, say that again.
So normally you get Thursday and Friday off. With Humboldt, Friday, you have to use a personal day or a vacation day to have it off, even though the campus is closed.
Well, what are you supposed to do?
Take the vacation day or talk with your supervisor and go to work, which is stupid because it's just stupid. So I took off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday next week because I just need a couple of days of just kind of laying in my bed, watching TV, letting the TV watch me.
Everybody needs a veg day.
Yeah, and I need a couple of veg days because I had such a good time in Vegas for my birthday, and today I kind of felt depressed.
I didn't even know you were. I didn't even know until I saw you in the car and said you were on your. You were in Barstow.
I'm like, oh, right,
yeah.
So I had such a good time. I really dedicated. I was there four nights and saw three and did three nights of shows.
Oh wow! Anything good? Obviously something good.
I just wanted to kick it with my girls and go to these shows.
What'd you see?
Michael Jackson won. Cirque du Soleil. Hands down, it is a must.
Wow.
If you're going to Vegas, you need to go ahead and pay for that.
Yeah.
Folks was flying in from these aerials, and they're flying in from the back, and then they're coming from up the stage, and then they drop down in the stage, and the music is going, and they're just dancing and moonwalking, and it was just like, you know, we were just like, it was just so good. And then at the end, they kind of had his image, like a hologram of him, and the dancers was dancing with him, but the hologram of him, and it was off the chain. And so when me and my friend... So my girlfriend, Claudia Flowers, Anthony and Claudia Flowers, right time rooter.
Right.
They got married on 11-11-11. So this was their 10th wedding anniversary on the 11th. And then, of course, my birthday being on the 14th. So we went to Vegas last year together, and that was fun. And I was like, you know what? You know, you could always just go somewhere. So like in Vegas, you'd be like, okay, let's go over here. You know, instead of trying to plan this drive-by birthday party. And I was like, no. So that was the first show on Friday. Absolutely, positively the best ever.
Wow.
Ever.
I would love to see that.
Then on Saturday, we did Hitsville, which is kind of a Motown review.
Motown, yeah, yeah.
And it's nice to have that all black cast piece. And so they had the four guys and three girls. They did the Four Tops and the Spinners and the Temptations. And the girls came out and was doing the Stopping the Name of Love and I'm See About Me and all that. And it was cute. That's my adjective for that show. It was cute.
We used to get to Vegas about once a year. My wife's family, we would all meet in Vegas. Of course, with COVID, we stopped.
Right.
And we haven't been back and lost a brother-in-law a couple of years ago.
Oh, no.
And so, like, my sister-in-law, it was her husband, and she's not ready to go back yet because of memories. But hopefully we can go back. But when we go there, we get a timeshare. My other sister-in-law has a timeshare, and we stay. It's on Las Vegas Boulevard, but it's past the Strip, so we're not in amidst all the stuff on the Strip.
Past the Strip, meaning coming in from L.A. before you get to
no,
the Strip?
No, past the airport.
North.
Yeah,
north.
Yeah, past the airport, yep. And they have some shows there, not as big as that, but they've got this one room that they always do this kind of a Motown review. And one year we were there, and good bands, you know, kind of local type bands, and I love that kind of stuff.
Right.
And the guy was calling in people he knew out of the audience, his musician friends that were coming in out of the audience, and it was great. But this one brother got up there and he did Ooh Baby Baby.
That was it.
I'm telling you, Smokey would have been proud. I mean, this cat, I mean, he blew it. I was just blown away how good he was. I talked to him afterwards, says, why aren't you down on the Strip? You know, he was that good.
Wow. You know. Well, that Hitsville was good, but it's the third show we saw, which was on Sunday, Whitney Houston's Hologram Concert. all I can say is whoever came up with and does all the IT and media, you know, the first time when she first, what happened? Oh, okay, that's Sid calling. It looks like he might be having a problem. Sid, you okay? Okay, so you followed the exact directions from the login? Not through my phone, no. The only way is to come through the Zoom. Okay. So our guest is trying to, and he's logged in before, so I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah, he's been on three or four times, yeah.
But
so the Whitney
started off, and so it's her, and it's from different concerts that she's done, and somehow they've isolated her image, and you know, all of a sudden you see these gold sparkles, and then she disappears, and she's in this dress, and she's like, "How y'all doing tonight?" And we're responding like, you know, like we're there. Yeah, you know, she's like, "I know y'all doing good. Let me go on and start off with this hit that's, you know, back to 1985, and I think it was Saving All My Love for You or something, but it was just. I'm getting chills. Oh my God, look at my arm. That is hilarious. Getting chills thinking about that. First of all, the woman can sing. Let's start with that.
Yeah, no doubt
she
about
can
that.
Blow, and I just forgot how good she could sing. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, just sing, girl. Oh! And it was so good. And so every time she would think, she would disappear into these sparkle gold, and then the dancers would come back out in a different outfit, and she would be doing something else. That band, on point. They looking at her like she is, you know, because she's doing whatever to stop whatever. You know how you give the key or
the signal,
stop
yeah.
the music.
The cue.
They were looking at her like she, I mean, it was, the woman was there.
Wow.
And I tell you, and that's at Harrah's. It was wonderful. I just thought, oh my God. So to see two icons.
Yeah, that are gone.
In and then in, it was off the hook. It was, I mean, anybody listen, all I can say is it is a must. Michael Jackson 1 is what it's called. He has his own theater. It ain't going nowhere no time soon. Michael Jackson 1.
That's O-N-E or like the number one?
It's spelled O-N-E.
Okay.
Yes. And it's at Mandalay Bay. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you just the acrobatics alone. You know, you got, he jumped down and the whatever that thing is you jump on. What is that called?
Trampoline.
Thank you. Trampoline. I said tambourine. I was thinking about a tambourine. Mm-hmm. And anyway, he would jump and then the thing would draw him back up on the wall and he'd climb and then somebody's coming from over here. So we were in the front. And so all of a sudden I'm looking up and there's somebody singing or dancing and hanging in and coming down on the stage. Absolute must. And so especially if you guys do your reunion there, y'all need to do a group rate. If not, when you go, you need to see it. It is that spectacular. Like, I would see it again.
Wow. And hopefully we can get there.
Front row seats. Claudia was like, you know, oh, shoot. He's poor thing. Okay, still not working?
As Dr. Bennett is trying to get her guest in on the broadcast, we're going to listen to some music here. But she's talking about her trip to Las Vegas, which sounds exciting. Michael Jackson show, a Whitney Houston show with holograms. That is phenomenal. A little bit scary. Actually, I'm sure it looks like they are actually there. So the next time we get to Vegas, I have got to go see that. So I'm looking forward to that.
me entertain the listeners, sing a song or something.
Yeah, I've got the music going.
Put some music on or something.
You can't hear the music?
No difficulties, everybody. We'll get Zed locked in.
Oh, there he is. There he is.
Okay, we almost got you. We just take you off mute and we're good to go. There, you're on mute right now, so.
No, I just unmuted.
There we go. Said everybody. Give it up for Said Dumont. All right.
My goodness. That took forever.
You got to just take your time and follow those steps. If some, you know, you're rushing or something, and things happen. So,
all right. So how's everybody doing?
We are good. We got Kenny today.
Doing
only
good.
Colette is not going to be on the show today. So it's just the three of us. After the promo was made, I've been sending it out to any and everybody. Everybody's like, oh, damn, that's going to be a serious topic. I had it on Facebook. And so folks are like, okay.
Russell's not joining either?
Yeah, Russell couldn't make it tonight.
Okay.
So, so it's
just us.
Well, I'm good. Yeah. Cause I rarely get a chance to talk to you brothers, man. Cause you know, I'm behind the scenes and of course the women do most of the talking. So, I'll try to get a word in edgewise tonight.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I look forward to your input.
All right.
So as I said, I've been pushing it. I've texted to people. People are like, oh man, I've got to listen. So shout out to all the listeners out there. My girl Terry in LA, my mama, my sisters, all my folks all over the 57 countries that listen to us.
61. Mm. 61 countries.
61 now? 61, yep. Oh my God. Just throw off some names of some of the countries.
Oh God. China, Israel, Japan, the Philippines, Germany, Great Britain, pretty much India. We have a lot of listeners in India. I have no idea why.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Isn't that something? Because at first I thought it was maybe, you know, military bases. And then, but with COVID, people have just been trying to have something to do since you're at home. So then you end up surfing the web, I guess, and finding.
Or looking for podcasts and you find a podcast. So we've got the online listeners and then we've got the podcast listeners. So we're hitting pretty much everywhere.
To the show later, meaning.
Oh, and by the way, you know, we've been hitting 38 states. We're up to 39 states in the United States. Finally got somebody from Louisiana. I don't know why.
Somebody from Louisiana?
We had nobody from Louisiana.
I know somebody from Louisiana. I'm going to call him and be like, Jovan, you need it. He's in New Orleans.
Yeah. We had nobody from Louisiana. I do not understand it, but finally we got Louisiana. So that was a hard nut to crack, but we're there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know. Brother Love is from Monroe.
All right.
Yeah, well, one of my mentees lives in New Orleans, so that's going to change starting next week. I'll be like, look.
He got to do this.
So this is so deep because we've had so many. So I tell people that I have the two podcasts with Mindful Mondays being more of centered about self-help, self-reliance, just dealing with everything that we've been dealing with. And I selfishly created that show because I was going through it. And I figure if I'm going through it, I know the rest of the world is too, because that's the difference between this pandemic is that everybody is going through it. It's not like, oh, it's a China thing. Oh, it's an Inglewood thing. Oh, it's a Texas thing. It's a everybody thing. And so I want to thank those listeners who also listen to this show for tuning in for Mindful Mondays. Love you. Been within the mix though, however, since fall of 2018. And I was going through my own personal health issues there. So now it's just been bumping and everything's been great. And we've been having these wonderful guests. And Said is no stranger to this show at all. And Said is going to bring some heat today, though. And I love, we were talking about this and I'm trying to take notes while the man is talking. I'm like, hold on, let me pull over. Because I was driving, I was like, let me pull over. And I was like, what now? And so I came up with this from our conversation, the promo. Which is, we've got at least four questions that you're going to address for sure. And so let's just jump right in. First of all, you're listening to In the Mix, Conversations with Colette and Corliss today. And we've got Said Dumont, father, single father, and entrepreneur and just creative artist and just all of the above out of New York, now by way of Long Beach, California.
Yes, 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 yes.
He's also a member of the Divine Nine. And for those, remember, nobody knew what the Divine Nine was prior to inauguration, but the Divine Nine is the the nine Black-founded sororities and fraternities. And Kamala Harris is part of Alpha Kappa Alpha, which is the first female sorority and fraternity. I'm a member of Delta Sigma Theta, which is the second one. Then we have Zeta Phi Beta. And then Sigma Gamma Rho just celebrated their 99th anniversary. So they're holding on. They're the last. We have two that are left that haven't made the 100th, the centennial birthday yet. So they're 99 years old. So next year, they're going to be turned all the way up at 100.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sid, however, is a member of the first Black fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, founded in 1906. There we go. You have to say that. And so if you do the math, how old will you guys be in January?
Well, let me just say first and foremost that we're the oldest and the coldest.
Right. Love
so,
it.
Oh, here we go, y'all. 2000. Hold on.
Okay, hold on now. 2006 was our centennial.
Correct.
So if you do the math, 2006.
To 2016, so that's
2016. 2026.
19, 20, 21.
We'll be 120. 120? So, right. So, in 2026.
You make me take out my calculator. No, 120.
Here we go.
I was thinking 114.
2022 minus 1906. 116 years.
116.
So, you almost. Mm-hmm.
We're almost at 120. That's what I said.
That is what you said. I just was like, hold up. Let me get the real calculator out because my mind is fried. So, yes. Wow. That's crazy. So, yes, he is a part of the first. And so let me not diss the rest of them. Let me also name off our brothers. So our second fraternity would be Kappa Alpha Psi. And then Omega Psi Phi. Both of them were founded in 1911. And the Omega's Founders Day is today. So, to my friend.
Okay, 06.
Okay, right. And then after them in 1914 was Phi Beta Sigma. And then in 1963, Iota Phi Theta. So there are nine total Divine Nine. So he's a member of, we are both members of the Divine Nine. And so I'm just really happy that she gave us all a shout out. She gave her sorority shout out, which she should, but to let, you know, we have all come together. And said, you guys know from previous shows, he is my voter suppression man. He's not playing. We've had Brother Love on the show talk about how he just dealt with that mess in Louisiana. Oh, my God. And just the whole voter suppression, the whole Georgia thing. I can't bring you a bottle of water. So, I mean, said is on the forefront of all this controversial piece. So when we were talking yesterday to kind of finalize what we want to do today, when he started dropping this knowledge, I was like, stop, I got to pull over. And I was writing notes. I was like, okay, I'm going to put this together and put it this way. And I love the way, Kenny, how you did the flyer. So everybody wants to know what is going on. And so let's just start with the first question on the promo. Why is our definition of success based on the white man's standard? That's a show within itself.
Right. And, you know, I think when you look at what is the definition of success, right, it's already like laid out, right? A house, picket fence, you know, 2.5 kids, cat and a dog, all that kind of stuff. But it's like, when we go about achieving that, when do we know we've gotten that? Right. So when you become successful, what neighborhood do you live in? What car are you driving? Where do you shop for your food and your clothes? And most of those things are 100% geared towards that white success story, right? No one says, okay, I'm going to make all this money and I'm going to move back to the hood. Right? Everybody says, I'll make this money and get out the hood. Right? You know, people say, okay, I'm going to get a Bentley. I'm going to get a Ferrari. You know, none of those sound like, you know, African-American home. So those are the kinds of things that I'm talking about when we say, okay, we have to turn around and take a second look at what it is success looks like for us.
We have to, in fact, if I can jump in here, we have to give people a reason to come back as well. A lot of times people make something of themselves, become successful, and I'm doing air quotes, they become successful, and there are a lot of things that happen in our community that people don't want to be a part of, whether, you know, some of the crime, some of the drugs, and a lot of things that go on, some of the blight. I have a cousin who used to live up on Ladera Heights, and he had nothing but problems from his neighbors, and he just moved down to Orange County a couple of years ago because he just had to get away because, you know, up there in the Ladera Heights, that used to be, that was, you know, Ladera Heights, Baldwin Hills, and View Park, those.
The Black Haven, right?
Yeah, exactly, the Black Beverly Hills. But he got up there, and it was just as bad as it was some of the other places. So we have to do more to make it inviting for people to come back as well. And I get what you're saying, I completely understand what you're saying, but a lot of times people don't want to come back to what's there. It's very hard when you can't park on the street. My sister used to live on Fairview, right near La Brea.
Right.
Yeah. And every time I'd go over there, make sure, you know, don't leave anything in your car. Make sure your car's locked and all these sorts
really?
Of things.
Yeah. I mean, I don't do that anyway, no matter where I'm at.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There's still problems like that in Ladera?
Yeah. So it was almost a thing. So, and I understand we need to try to bring the money back into the community, but the people in the community also need to welcome people back that have become, again, successful, even outside of the basketball players and the artists and things like that. You know, whether it's a doctor, a lawyer, or just a standard businessman, or even a guy that works at the post office and has done well. We need to welcome those people back into the community, because a lot of times when we have success that is outside of, again, being an athlete or artist or something like that, you're a corporate guy or something like that, you're not as welcome. You know, if you're educated and you speak well, you're not as welcome all the time. So sometimes it's very hard for our people to come back.
Well, I mean, I not only do I agree with you, but I'll add that a lot of times we're our worst enemies, right?
Right.
In the sense that, you know, we judge each other first, and that's through training, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like we judge each other. We keep each other, quote unquote, in line, right? And I think what we need to start thinking about is, like, for example, and this is something that I spoke with Dr. Corliss about earlier today. You know, I found the statistic to be very jarring, right? So the statistic as of 2019 is that when an Asian person earns a dollar, that dollar stays in that Asian community for 1 month. When a white person earns a dollar, that dollar stays in that white community for 2 weeks. When a black person earns a dollar, that dollar stays in that community for, wait for it, 6 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm familiar with that.
Six hours.
I'm familiar with that statistic, yep.
That's
six
crazy.
Hours.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
So from the time you go to the bank, check cashing place or whatever, the money's gone.
Yeah.
And it's leaving that community. So when you say, okay, you know, we have to give people a reason to come back, it's about building what's called a community, right? So that they have a reason to come back, whether it's a mm-hmm. restaurant or a mm-hmm. barbershop or, you know, a temple or a church or whatever the case might be. I think it's time that we start looking at those kinds of things. They go, okay, well, if I'm like spending that dollar in 6 hours, like what is going to bring me back?
You know, there's a dearth of black businesses to spend our money. We just don't have the black businesses for people to spend their money. And when we do,
I don't know about that.
Well, we don't have black grocery stores, you know, gas stations, department stores,
banks.
We
used to have several black banks.
You know,
is there anyone left?
Large scale restaurants, you know, right. And I'm not talking about a You Buy, We Fry, you know.
Right, but here's the thing that I'm saying though, right? So let's say you tomorrow and you go and you open a black restaurant,
mm-hmm.
right? The key is, like we said, when you talk about, you know, Asian communities, white communities, they stay within their community.
Right.
If you open a restaurant tomorrow, is that restaurant going to be populated by the people in that area? Or is that restaurant going to be populated by people outside that area? Because if that if that dollar is leaving the black community in 6 hours, when is it going to have a chance to circulate to your restaurant, to that grocery store,
right,
to that bank, to that dry cleaners?
There was a saying from back in, I don't know if it was the 50s or 60s, that, you know, after integration, we felt that the white man's ice was colder.
Exactly.
You know,
and that's kind of the point, right? So our, you know, definitions of success is based on their definition of success. Like, you get a certain level, you buy a Bentley. Well, who owns Bentley? You get to a certain level, you buy Gucci. Well, who owns Gucci?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You get to a certain level and you move into the hills. Well, who's at the hills? Right? At every level of success, it encourages us to step outside.
Right.
Right? It doesn't encourage us to bring that those resources back inside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, and that's the main part of what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, why I understand that, you know, where you get your extensions or whatever at the Korean spot is going to be like another $2 cheaper. But why are you not willing to spend an extra $2?
Yeah.
To keep French shop in circulation. That's the question I'm asking.
You know what kills me? When I try my best, and I, you know, black on this, okay, I'm going to go through here, I'm going to come over here. And then they have the audacity to have funky service.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, yeah, y'all.
That's a big issue.
I'm trying to patronize y'all.
That's a big issue.
And you having an attitude? So why did you even come to work today?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have an attitude. And it's just like, come on, y'all. I'm trying my best. I go and I'm just like, I'm not coming back here no more. Because it's just like, are you serious? And so like you said, the nail shops. Koreans got it on lock.
Yep.
And there's a couple black owned, you know, nail shops. They charge $20 more for the feel, let's just say. And they're slower, you know, they're not friendly. And it's just like, you know, you run into these types of things and then you wonder why. I can go right up here to Lisa's nail shop. They have 20 tables for your fingernails and 20 stations for your pedicure. Mm-hmm. You come in, you sign in, you may wait 15 minutes. Corliss, go to station 515. Or if I know I like Tom, who's at station 12 or whatever, I'm waiting for him. You know, and it's just like, and it's clean and it's open and people, and they're friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And they understand English. Sometimes some of them can't speak it back, but the ones that's been, you know, working here in Inglewood, they're going to have to, they know English, which is interesting because I'll say something and say, no, she'd be like, I understand you. I was like, oh, my bad. I didn't mean it.
Like I told you the other night.
So here's my question, like, so why does that happen? Right, that's the question.
Right.
Why does that happen?
Let me tell you, so like I told you the other night, Monday night, Corliss, I get my feet done about 3 times a year, and I absolutely love it. I love sitting there to give me a glass of wine. It's very relaxing.
Absolutely.
I love
it. You should go once a month, Kenny. You deserve it.
And I go to a place here. It's Asian owned. They're very friendly. As a matter of fact, I go to a different place. But the first place I used to go to, I got the same girl. She knew me. And I always tip well. And that's another thing that we need to talk about. I always tip well, and they know it. And I get great service. I was in Vegas a few years ago, and I decided to go get my feet done. Everybody else was doing something. I said, I'm going to go get my feet done. I just looked in the online and found a spot. And I don't know if it was black owned, but there was a black girl, a couple of black girls in there. Got the black girl. She did my feet. She did a fine job. I gave her a really, really good tip. I mean, maybe like 50%. If getting my feet done was $30, I gave her like $15. I believe in tipping well, especially my people, our people.
Right.
I will
tip well.
That's
something we don't do. But yeah. Go ahead.
And I went and paid up front. I went back to her. I handed her the money. She just turned and walked away. I was not expecting her to drop on her knees and call me Jesus or anything.
Right.
Just a simple,
just say
thank you. Yeah. And I understand, you know, we go through a lot and there's all the backstory that everybody has. I completely get that. And my only thing is that you're in the service business, you know, and have try to be a little bit more friendly, a little more customer service oriented. It would really help. And that's something. And if you go online and read, we're known for that. We are known for not tipping. We are known for giving bad service. So there's some semblance of truth to that.
Right.
Well, what I'll add to that is this, right? And I think that's a very good example, right? Because, you know, Russell, some of my friends and I, we've talked about this. back in the day when I used to, you know, run nightclubs and manage nightclubs and stuff like that, I ran into this very weird thing, right? And this goes into right what you're talking about, where my friends would want to come and, you know, come to my club or come to my bar or, you know, whatever, you know, if I was having an event. And I'd be like, okay, well, I got your cover, so you don't have to pay at the door. You don't have to wait in line. And, but then when they got in, it would be expected that, okay, I would get them like the first couple of rounds. And I'm like, well, I already skipped you the line. I already paid your cover.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the time when you support me now.
Right.
Right. By
and
you
it's and always, me. Right. And it's always that symbiotic thing. It's like, okay, well, we want the hookup, but when do you hook me back up?
Right.
Right.
Right. So the hookup is not me giving you everything for free. The hookup is me making things a little bit more convenient for you. And then you turn around and pay my bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there's some truth to what you're talking about. But what I would say about that is when it comes to, like, you know, let's say I go to Koreatown. A lot of times the tip is calculated into my bill.
Mm-hmm.
So even before I get the bill, it's like, okay, you know, I spent $55, but my bill is actually going to be $58. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And because we're known for, you know, quote unquote, you know, the stereotype is we don't tip and stuff like that. So sometimes we go out of our way to other people. So when I go into a Jamaican restaurant or something like that, like I will tip, if the service is good, I will tip 30%. If the first service is bad, I will tip like 10%. But I will let them know, hey,
mm-hmm.
I'm still giving you 10%, but your service was bad and this is where you lacked.
Yeah.
And I think that we have to be able to do that with one another. Be like, hey, you know, because I mean, shoot, if I go to TGIF Fridays, I get an email that gives me a survey.
A survey, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that's how they improve their service.
Yep.
Right.
So we need to be willing and able to do that as well, to say, hey, I'm giving you 15%, but here's why.
Mm-hmm.
Or I gave you 30% or 50%, here's why.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
We can't continue to just expect our counterparts to just behave in a specific way.
Yeah, right? There's a...
I mean, to use your example, you gave 50%. I'm just suggesting this. I'm not telling you what to do, but it might have been helpful if you were like, hey, I'm giving you 50% tip and this is why. She might have then felt more empathy to engage with you.
And you may be right, but I was just so taken aback that she just turned and walked away. I wasn't expecting
money,
a whole
took the
lot.
Took money and turned and walked away, right?
Yeah. And I was speechless.
Yeah, that's not
I was
cool.
absolutely speechless.
So let me ask you this. So you were speechless, and what? How does that experience affect you today?
I know about it. It will not stop me from supporting black businesses. I will try, and I will. Yeah, there's other cases where I have said something. There's a local chicken joint here. It's not too far, and I absolutely love the chicken. I went in there several months ago. The guy's back there cooking with his pants hanging down off his ass.
Mm.
Got my chicken, came home, went online and said, love your food. I'm black. I support you. Love everything. But by the way, I don't want to see your cook's underwear.
Right.
Now, I've been back.
Crack your ass.
Yeah. I've been back and they're not doing that anymore. I don't know if it was because I said it.
I'm sure it
or
was.
Or maybe somebody else said it, but it seems to have had some sort of effect. So I did tell them, you know, I want to support you, but if I come in here, keep seeing underwear in here, I'm not coming back. But again, I will go out of my way to support black businesses.
Or at the very least, if it wasn't your specific comment, maybe you were the 10th comment.
Yeah, maybe it was exactly. Maybe
and they said, okay, we've heard this 9 times. Now that we've heard it 10.
Yeah.
Let's do something about it.
Exactly.
But that's what I'm talking about, though. At the end of the day, we have to be willing to call each other to account.
Right, right.
We have to be able to do this, not just for the sake of criticism, but for the sake of making the experience better. Not just for you for that day,
but
the next time you go.
It's constructive feedback.
Correct.
It is constructive feedback.
Why are we afraid of that?
Yeah, well, these are how, and you know, let's face it. This is the white man's world.
Absolutely.
You know, and this is how things are done. And if you want to compete, this is how You have to do things. Now, if you tell me you don't want to compete in that arena and you're fine, you know, whatever, then that's fine. But don't complain. You know?
See, I go a different direction with that. I agree with you in the sense that it's a white man's world. But then what I turn around and say is, you know what? How do we then make our mark?
No, I agree. Right? No, I agree. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
We're all living in the same universe. But yet, after, what, 4 or 5 months of things happening to Asians, we had the anti-Asian bill passed, right?
Mm-hmm.
A couple years of things happening, and I don't want to minimize it, of things happening to gays, we have the anti-LGBTQ, legislation.
Right.
Meanwhile, we've been sitting around since 1965 talking about the anti-lynching, right? We now are dealing with voter suppression at a level unseen before since Jim Crow. Right?
Yeah.
So, we sit there quietly, patiently waiting, and the other groups just get things done. Now, why is that? And, Corliss knows me well enough. I'm going to pivot always back to voting. Like, we have a voting block that doesn't demand anything.
Exactly.
And these politicians go ahead and say, oh, okay, well, of course, 98% of black women are going to vote, for Biden Harris. And of course, 93% of Asian women are going to vote for, Clinton Kane. But those 54% of white women that voted for Trump is why Trump got in. And then everything that ensued since has happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
He got rid of the pandemic team. Oh, look at this. We're in a pandemic. So I'm always pivot back to that because it's like when we're talking about, the way we spend our dollars, the way we invest our money, Russell and I today were talking about, what we were talking about, the whole idea of, food shortages and all that stuff. Like, who does that affect?
I want to answer the question about the voting and we don't get anything for it. And it's based on the two bullets there about our black dollars only in the community for 6 hours and we spend and they invest. And I said this on a show a few months back and I got a lot of pushback on it from one person. We don't bring anything to the table.
Right.
No, we do.
We don't know how to bring it to the table. We think we are bringing it to the table. We have it, but we don't bring it with us. That we don't understand. We are $1 trillion. If we were a country, the black people in the United States, if we were a country, I think we would be something like either the 7th or 17th largest country out there. From the money we spend, we have
the black people. If all black people together, that would be that. Right?
Yes, we have the economic prowess. We just don't use it.
Hold on.
I'm sorry. I had to jump in.
Okay, go ahead.
Again, it's not that we don't have; it's the fact that we use it wrong.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We have the economic prowess.
No, we use it though. Hold on a second. We use it though. We just use it wrong.
Well.
Right. So we've talked about things like, gangsters and we've talked about all these different things. The difference is when you go to Koreatown, Koreans own that.
Yeah.
When you go to Chinatown, Chinese own that.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the hood, we don't own that.
No.
Right.
And see,
that's what it comes down to. Like, so whether you're living in, the slums of wherever you're at, buy that. Because when the time comes around and it's, we're talking about real estate, we're talking about taxes, we're talking about all these other things that keep people engaged. We're not engaged because we don't own anything.
Right,
we're
exactly.
A bunch of renters.
Yep.
We're a bunch of Yeezy wearers. Like, we'll spend $500 on a goddamn pair of shoes, but don't have $500 in the bank.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean. And that's what I mean. Yeah, and that's what I mean
Thank
about
you.
we don't use it the right way. We don't take it with us to the table. We don't bring that to the table and say this is what we want. Black Lives Matter had a list of demands on their website a couple of years ago, like 60 items on their list of demands. And I would say, you know, have a list of demands. Kidnappers and terrorists have list of demands. Why? Because they have something that you want and that you value. They've got your kid, your spouse, they've got something, the terrorists have something, they can demand something. If we don't bring that, if we don't get together and flex our economic muscle, they're never going to give us anything. Yeah, we vote Democrat. We vote Democrat over and over and over. And a lot of people are mad about the Democrats. Unfortunately, the Republicans are not a viable option now. Yeah, so we have to continue voting Democrat. But we have to be able to go to them and say, okay, here's what we want. We have to be able to lay that out and articulate that and say, these are the things that we need you to do for our community. You know, and
now, I mean, I'll agree with that. And I'll add that, you know, and by the way, Corliss, I think Russell is waiting to come in.
No, he's in. He's in.
He's there. We see him.
So what I'll say is this, because Russell and I have been talking about this as well. Bump the Democrats, bump the Republicans. The next three voting cycles, vote for neither one of them. Vote for blue, vote for purple, vote for green, vote for whatever party. Because at the end of the day, they have zero reason to vie or to, you know, compete for our vote, because they know they're going to get it.
The only issue I have with that is that if you do right now with the two-party system, and we'll let you right in, Russell, it's a two-party system. And unfortunately, voting for a third party now is a wasted vote. Now, there is what's called a ranked choice voting, where you can actually vote for more than one person and they rank your choices.
They did that in New York.
Yes, they did. Absolutely. And if until we get something like that, not voting for Joe Biden was a vote for Donald Trump, unfortunately. You know,
correct.
It's just the way it is. And so.
But what I say is, okay, you know what? This is a good time to let Russell in, because he's got some good feedback.
Hi,
on
Russell, honey. Hey, Russell. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. Can you
I'm
guys
so
hear
glad
me?
You was able to ease in with us before. Hi, good.
Yeah, we got you, man. Go ahead.
Just say something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me just say something about what Kenny and Seb were just talking about. Every election cycle that comes around, yes, we only have a two-party system. However, at this point, it's not about one, you know, if you don't vote for Joe Biden, then it's a vote for Donald Trump, because that's the same thing that they always used to get our votes. Right now, this is about leverage. If every Black person left the Democratic Party and just went independent, that would shake up both parties, because now they don't know where we're going. And that's how you get leverage. And you have to be unified in one accord. I'll give you a perfect example. Either yesterday or the day before yesterday, for the first time in Boston's history, they have an Asian female mayor.
Right.
And they were ticked off saying, you know, three other Black people ran and one Asian lady, and the one Asian lady got it. It must be racism. No, it's not racism. It's simple. Three Black people were not unified, so they split the Black vote three ways, and the one Asian person had a unified Asian vote, and she won. It's that simple.
That part.
You know, and it's like Kenny was saying, we have to stop thinking the white man's ice is colder. I'll give you a perfect example. When I was doing properties, and I had a bunch of properties, and I was renting out, I heard some of the most excuses. I had one tenant. She always had some excuse of why she didn't have her rent money, and I was the most lenient landlord you could ever ask for. As a matter of fact, if they paid their rent on time, Christmas, nobody paid rent. Buy your kids gifts and everything else. That month was on me. And it was, wow. And a lot of them were still late. Well, this one woman had three kids, and she called me up and said she didn't have the rent money. And I said, why? Because I had to buy my kids Easter clothes. So you didn't pay your rent to have a roof over your kids' head,
right?
Because you wanted Easter clothes. Yeah, but you know what? You Black, just like us, you need to look out. I said, I'm going to look out. I said, if you don't have my rent money in 2 days, I'll wait a third day before putting that eviction notice on instead of 2 days. And then she had it. And then I noticed once I let one of them get away with it, a bunch of them started doing it. So you know what I did? I remember something that my grandfather told me about his business a long time ago. My grandfather and I used to go out on jobs, and he ran a business. And every time we went to one of our people's houses, they always tried to talk him down and everything else. And then he would say, well, I'm not the boss. let me call the boss at the office. Now, the boss at the office was his girlfriend. It wasn't his boss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then she would just say, you know, nope, the price is what it is, and that's it. So I remembered all of that. So then I turned around, and I went home on my printer the following month. I sent all of my tenants a letter and said, I sold all of the properties to a company, right? A white-owned company, whatever the case may be. So from this point forward, I'm just a property manager. All of a sudden,
they had the rent.
I told them, if you don't pay the rent, the white man's going to put you out. Never had any rent problems after that.
And that's a shame that you have to use, quote, that threat of you're still the owner, but they didn't know that.
Right. And see, the other sad part to it, like I told Stead, Black people elevate and move away from the hood for one simple reason. Black people don't vote unless it's for the presidential election. I used to work the polls when I was younger, as far as the voting polls. I'd get there 7 o'clock in the morning, right? By the time I left there 7 o'clock at night, only 12 people voted.
Yeah.
And it happened more than once. But every time the presidential election comes around, everybody wants to up. And I tell people all the time, what happens at the presidential level will never affect you as fast as the local level.
Mm-hmm.
The local
absolutely.
Level,
absolutely.
Sheriffs, judges, librarians, everything. And we have to get away from that mentality of the government being our father. It's like
exactly.
It's like standing at the top of a tower waiting for the people in the penthouse to throw you down some crumbs. When if you stopped and looked around the ground floor that you're on, you got everything you need. You just got to unify and get it going.
You just said something, Russell.
Until that mentality changes, we are going to be stuck and we will always be controlled emotionally. That's why, like I said before, that's why every other LGBTQ Asians, everybody get legislation and money, reparations and everything else, and we get nothing but lip service and holidays.
But see, you said something, Russell. Russell, you said the government stop letting the government be our father. Where do poor Black folks live? In the government project. Where do poor white folks live? Trailer parks. They may not own that property, but they own that trailer, and the government is not. They're not owned by the government. But the other thing you mentioned was Black people not voting. Look at Ferguson, Missouri.
Right.
Even after Mike Brown, all the riots and all the things that happened after Mike Brown, do you know that they reelected that young white boy as mayor again? Now, a Black woman did finally get in a couple of years ago. But after all that, where are our minds?
Was it that they didn't show up to the polls and he won, or they voted for him?
Wait, say it again?
A little bit of both.
They actually voted for him.
A little bit of both. But see, they're sitting there complaining about the racism. And then comes time to elect a mayor, and they won't vote, or maybe they voted for the white boy, probably a little bit of both.
So this is where I jump in, because, you know, Corliss and Russell probably hears this from me all the time, right? The reason I created Faves is because I really wanted people to understand the power that they had locally. Because when something happens in your world, it's not the president or your senator that's going to fix it. Right? There's 40 million people in California, two senators. They're not going to be attending to my personal needs. That's why it's important that you know who the local officials are and you vote. I pivot everything to voting. Just like Russell will pivot everything right now to, to being self-sustaining when it comes to food, because there's a food shortage coming. But to me, everything we're talking about, every subject we're talking about, comes down to who you voted for or who you didn't.
Right.
So the reason that reason that person was reelected is because I'm going to take a wild guess, because this is what the stats have been saying. 50% of the Black vote didn't show up at all.
Correct. Because they mad. It ain't gonna change nothing. So why should I vote?
Mm-hmm.
And it's that reaction versus being proactive that's the problem that I have.
And see, that's why, we're all over the place with this, but that's why this 22 election, that's the midterms. And that's where the Congress, and like you said, all the different things, school boards and all the different stuff that's local to us, tangible right here in California, or you in Texas, or you in wherever you are, that's why it's so important. And we got to come out strong in 22 like we did for 20.
Absolutely.
That's not going to happen.
Tell me why.
You have a lot of people that are going to come out, but unfortunately, you have a lot of people, like you said, with that mentality, it's not going to matter. And the thing is, on the Democratic Party side, the Democrats are cannibalizing each other. So by the time by the time they finish beating up on each other, whether or not you like the Republicans or not, they're on one accord. They got one mission, and they're pointing it with it, and they're going to.
And they may win next year, and they may win in 2024. Yeah, because they are single focused with their message. Yeah. And there's an old
about what happened in 20.
There's an old saying that Democrats fall in love, Republicans fall in line. Okay, Democrats are looking for the greatest guy and this and that, and they're fighting each other and throwing darts at each other. And the biggest idiot in the world is telling these people what the Republicans what to do, and they're doing it.
Well, and the crazy thing that the Democrats don't realize, like even with Governor Cuomo that was in New York, it was a Republican that threw that hit piece out just to get the Democrats fighting with each other, and they do it all the single time.
Yeah,
they do it all the time.
Well, they said
get the Democrats to start cannibalizing each other and beating each other up. So by the time they get to the primary, whoever gets there will be so tattered and torn that all we got to do is stay online.
And remember, they threw forced Al Franken out of office for something he did long before he was a politician. Yeah. You know, but the Republicans, they're guys. I mean, Jim Jordan right now, there's talk that he allowed young boys to be molested in school and things like that. They have a single focus, and they know exactly what they're doing. And one thing I want to bring up to the listeners, because sometimes we get pushed back on this, that all we do is bash black folks. You know, we've had people call us and say, oh, well, you guys, you know, you just bash black folks. We're not bashing. You can't fix a problem if you don't admit you've got a problem. And that's why we're talking about these issues, because these issues are germane to our position. And that's why it's very hard for us to make significant progress, because we won't admit the issues that we have. We've got to admit those issues, and we've got to find solutions and move past them. But if we just don't admit it, we're never going to get anywhere.
Well, me, I'm a little bit more arcane when it comes to stuff like that. You are going to get a bunch of people that's going to sit up there and say we're bashing black people. You know what? If that's how you feel and you're that much in your feelings, but you are obviously not doing anything to change the situation either. So if you want to, and that's why I say that's the biggest problem. Instead of constructive criticism, they want to get emotional and in their feelings. Mm-hmm. Take that to Love and Hip Hop. But if you want to come over here, if you want to come over here for constructive criticism and how we can better our situation, then open your ears and close your mouth and just listen. You don't have to agree with everything. But at least if you can walk away with something that you disagree with, but it gave you something, a different perspective to think about, then you've learned something a lot more than you would have learned watching Love and Hip Hop.
Absolutely.
Speaking of, I have to jump in on this real quick and throw Russell put him on the spot. Because one of the things that we've been talking about is the effects of this food shortage. And we see it with gas prices. We see it with everything. And I really just want, and I know we only have like another 8 or 9 minutes, but I really want Russell to take a second to really articulate some of the stuff he and I have been talking about. Because, guys, I'm here to tell you, this shit's about to hit the fan, and you guys really got to pay attention. Go ahead, Russell. Sorry to put you on the spot, bro.
No, it's no problem. When I first hopped on back in July, I think it was, and I was telling everybody about crypto, I mentioned back then that hyperinflation was coming in. I don't know if it flew over other people's heads, or maybe they just thought it was just a soundbite. I don't know. But now it's here. And everything from China, the United States, and everything, a food shortage is here. So supplies are going to be limited. As a matter of fact, Kamala Harris even jumped on TV, and she couldn't say everybody better stock up on food because she didn't want to create a hysteria. So she jumped on TV and said, you better get your Christmas gifts now or there won't be anything in the store on Christmas. If you knew what was going on and you read between the lines, you understood she was saying that a food shortage is coming. It's just that she can't just put it out there like that because everyone would create a hysteria and sell everything out. Right now, so many people are so behind the eight ball. Me, I've always been a prepper. So I've always been storing and everything else. And I've been telling people, get your canned goods and get everything else. But me, I go next level with it. We don't know how long this food shortage is going to be. Even China is telling their people, stock up for 2 years. So I tell people to go, stop looking at Love & Hip Hop and stuff like that. Get on those YouTube channels and start learning what our people were born and bred to do. Nobody was better than us at gardening and doing things like that. Go buy some seeds. I have enough seeds in my house to last me 5 years. Because you know why? When the food run out and we don't know where it's coming from, start growing stuff in your own backyard. Even if you have an apartment with a balcony. You know what I mean? I got a little planting. Listen, and I wanted to do a show about this before. I'll even show people how to go in there and take a clothing bin with no soil or oil and some PVC pipe and grow their own vegetables. Easily.
Yeah, we need to do a show on that. And I've been a prepper for years too, so I completely agree. And we've only got a few minutes left.
Let me ask this question to our guys, because the topic is the world is laughing at us. Why is the world laughing at us,
Russell? Because we are not unified and we're controlled by emotion. Mm-hmm. So to the rest of the world, we're a joke.
And they know they can get away with whatever they want with us.
Mm. Because we're spenders, we're not investors.
Right. So just like you said, you get the first big fat paycheck, and the first thing you want to do is go get you the new Nikes, mm-hmm. a new car, and nothing that says anything about paying rent for 6 months or paying rent for the rest of the year so that you don't have to or rent mortgage if you can be blessed with that. Why are they laughing?
Listen, I've shared this story before. When I was in college, Clark and I was out, right? This was before FUBU and Fat Bomb. Mm-hmm. And I remember being in class and someone's talking about Clark and I should lower the prices of his clothes. And my argument was like, wow, so he should lower his prices. But at the same time, you'll go out and spend $100 buying a Ralph Lauren polo shirt.
Right.
Why should he lower his prices so you don't buy it as opposed to him just keeping the prices where you are because you're not buying it anyway.
Right.
To me,
it comes down to supporting each other. I'm sorry. I know I took a bunch of time.
But that's right.
Me, that's what it comes down to, supporting each other.
Also, I want to mention this about prepping.
Hold on. Go ahead, Kenny.
I wanted to mention this about prepping. If things go bad, cell phones are not going to be working. Okay. You all have, whether you've experienced if you've been down here for a tornado, earthquake, anything that might happen, your cell phones are not going to work. Either the systems are going to be down or they're going to be overloaded. Look into ham radio. Okay. Look into ham radio to get your license. It's not that expensive. You have to take a test for it. The test is not that difficult. I got my license. I've got a bunch of radios. Things go down. As a matter of fact, I'm having a family planning session in the next couple of weeks to make sure everybody's got their radios. Have a radio. Get your people in your neighborhood, your family, things like that. You can do the other radios, the regular like GMRS and things, but they don't have the range. GMRS has a better range because it can use repeaters. But get it, because you won't be able to talk to anybody. Your phone's going
to
be down.
So here's my question to all you guys, because I know we're running low on time. Here's my question to you guys, because Russell and I have been talking about doing a show specifically on seeds and being prepared for when there's a food shortage. When are we going to do that show? That's my question.
I'll call you.
Specifically talking about that show.
In 2 weeks. How about that?
Russell, you cool with that?
Yeah.
I have the first and third Wednesday. So the next one, we can do it on the next one. Not a problem.
Yeah, we have to, because so many people are already behind the eight ball.
Yeah. Yeah, people just don't know. And I've been prepping for you. I got food in my attic. I got food in my. I got food everywhere. And when they ran out of toilet paper during COVID,
look at you, Kenny.
It's just something I've always done, even before I moved here. Before,
you know why? Because the way I think and the way you think, that's what I call woke. I don't call the other stuff woke. But when you see what's going on in the world and you can anticipate what's coming, I call that woke.
And I'm gonna tell you, after Hurricane, what was the one in Louisiana?
Katrina.
That black lady, they talked to her on the television, and she said, well, they told us to come down here to the stadium, and then they didn't tell us what to do.
Right.
So they sat there not knowing what to do. Don't be that person. Know what to do.
So my question still stands. So then let me, so I want to make this straight. So 2 weeks from today, we're going to be on there talking about food insecurities.
Yep. Food insecurities, December 1st.
Okay.
So Russell, you cool with that? So why are they laughing at us?
I'm good. I'll be back and forth.
Because we don't take care of our own. We don't take care of our own.
Because we spend, we don't invest.
Russell, why are they laughing at us? Why is the world laughing at us?
I'm sorry?
I said, why is the world laughing at us?
Oh no, that's what I said, because we're consumers and not producers. We easily get hoodwinked emotionally, and we're not unified. So if they came up and said, okay, black people, we're here for you. What do y'all want? They'll get over a million different answers.
Mm-hmm. And also get yourself.
Yeah, it only comes down to one answer for me. Voting. Everything comes down to voting.
Also make sure you can protect yourself. Get yourself some protection. Okay. Everybody else is doing it, but we are buying more. Do you realize in the past year, the biggest increase in buying firearms was black women?
Yeah.
Black women have been buying more firearms than anybody in these past 2 years since COVID.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, ink up. I don't want to talk about how much I've got in my closet, but you've got to stock up on everything, because Brother Russell's right. Things are getting ready to get bad. And I'm going to tell you, if 2024 looks like 2016 in terms of the presidential election, you better watch out, because these people are going to be feeling their oats. They already had permission to do everything. That boy in Wisconsin thought he had permission. Those boys and those
what
white boys in
that?
Brunswick.
Did they do the verdict yet?
No verdict yet. In Brunswick, they thought.
No, they're deliberating right now.
Yeah, they thought they had permission. You know, and because they know we vote Democrat, and Democrats are anti-gun. And it's our downfall.
Well, I don't know that downfall. Democrats are anti-gun. I think Democrats are anti-message.
I think they're both. I think they're both.
When we do this in 2 weeks, I want to make it very instructional as far as this is what needs to be done. I'm talking about all the way down to filtering water. Because if you go to turn on that water on the top and it's not coming out, you need to know what to do with whatever water you find.
Well, he may need
even that means Corliss has to allow you to share the screen so you can do that.
Oh, okay. Or do we wait, right, Kenny, until we do a YouTube situation where people can see it?
Let's talk about what we want to do.
As long as the information gets out there.
Okay, so nobody sees us. That's the problem. Nobody sees us.
Oh, okay.
They hear us.
Oh, okay.
So that's what we need to figure out.
Yeah, we can do so. Look at the chat, Corliss.
Oh, okay. Okay, so maybe, okay. No, that sounds good. Okay. So we just need to then, because they won't be able to see the PowerPoint. So we got to figure that out.
Okay.
So it may not be on the first, or maybe we can figure it out by the first, because that's the next show that I'm in charge of bringing the guest. So
yeah, we'll have to figure it out, because time is of the essence.
Yeah.
People are already behind the eight ball.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
Or we can read out each one. Like, I don't want the lack of being able to be visible to stop us. We can read out each PowerPoint. Russell can literally say, this is PowerPoint number one, and it says this. This is PowerPoint number two, and it says this. We don't have to wait.
Yeah, we can work it out. The details are easy. We can work that out, but we are out of time. So,
okay. And so before we log off, I just, one of my faithful listeners, Terry, said, for those homeowners that have space, because I'm in an apartment, so I don't. What you want to do for Thanksgiving or, you know, Black Friday? If you one of those people that get up in the morning, because I don't. Maybe because I never had kids, but I don't. And my mama never did either. But one of the things you might want to get is a deep freezer, for real. Buy yourself a deep freezer. Quit trying to buy the Nintendo and the new Nikes and all the whatever, because them sales are just a joke. I mean, they're already starting the sales now. Black Friday has been Black Friday for like the last month. So you want to do something that's going to be productive for you and your family, and you own a home and have space in your garage for, take your butt to Best Buy first thing in the morning. And get you first thing, Black Friday, whatever, and get you a deep freezer so that you can start stockpiling, going to Costco and getting whatever. So we got to go. It's been an enlightening show, as always, when we have Sid and Russell on. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You have listened to In the Mix, Conversations with Colette and Corliss. And we're going to be out next week because it's Thanksgiving. So So we'll be back with them on the 1st of December. Ahala! Have a good turkey. Eat all that dressing. Sweet potato pie, macaroni and cheese. Do what you got to do.
All right. We'll good talking to you, Russ. And Sid, we'll be in touch, man.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah, all right.
All righty. Happy holidays, everybody. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.